Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if there's power in numbers and the positive change purchasing cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today is May the 10th in the year 2023. It's almost hard to believe that we are almost two-thirds and half of the year 2023 being behind us on the calendar, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis that the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historical Black colleges and universities, to utilize HBCU campuses and African-American-owned farmlands to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African men, American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African and African American community locally, nationally, and internationally on the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you also know if you join us on a regular basis that this show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you're listening to that initiative over the platform of Blog Talk Radio over the World Wide Web. We can be heard on iTunes. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You also know that this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information about that organization by logging on to blacksinsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a scheduled guest for you today, but we have a very informative show for you today. We have a webinar which has been produced by the Evergreen Action Group. And this was a national call which was aired absolutely almost a year ago on the Justice 40 with racial Peterson, okay? And they partnered with the several advocacy groups, and they break down Evergreen Explains what is climate pollution reduction grant programs. And they take a hard critical look at passing of the Inflation Reduction Act, ushered in by large investments in climate and clean energy, in the largest in the U.S. history. But our work isn't done yet. Effective and equitable implementation will be key in ensuring that we realize the climate goals, cut greenhouse gas pollution, advance environmental justice, and create good-paying jobs. That propels the clean energy economy. In order to assist federal agencies, state, local communities, tribal governments, businesses, and other partners to take full advantage of this historical funding, Evergreen Action is writing a series of blogs breaking down several key programs in the RIA. Now, I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this piece, because this is what we call a must-hear interview with Mrs. Rachel Peterson.
I'm the co-chair of the Education Committee for Elder Climate Action, and we're very excited speaking to Rachel and talk by Rachel Patterson. Rachel is a policy lead at Evergreen Action, and she has tremendous breadth of experience working in policy in climate, energy, green transition, and environmental justice. Before she went to Evergreen, she was the legislative and climate associate and environmental advocate in New York, where she supported policy development, analysis, research, and engaged with state legislators and coalitions. She also served as a fellow and briefly as the senior briefer for the Office of Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is the governor of New York. Rachel holds an MBA from Columbia and a BA from Public Health and Environmental Science from Mills College. She's currently pursuing a JD of public health. She's also active in her community, currently serving on the Albany Community Policing Accountability Committee. She's a member of the Albany Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. So, incredible background. She's talking about Justice Sorority and some of the other work that Evergreen Action is doing. I'm sorry, 7 o'clock, our time. And it's over anyone. We have added to that a little extra planning time. We're going to have someone from Climate Action Now with the CAMAP, which many of you all know have been using. Some of you all might want to try this. And for about 10 minutes, at the end of this, Matthew from Climate Action Now is going to be opening up the CAMAP, and we'll have various actions related to environmental justice. So we hope many of you will stay on. So, let Rachel get started.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Rachel Patterson. I work at Evergreen Action Now. I've been there about a year, and just a little background on Evergreen. We are a very small federal policy job. We're focused on really bringing results for cities and transitions with all government, social equity. Evergreen Network was being out of the data. And as many of the girls know, the first person to really run a presidential campaign all out focused on addressing the climate crisis. So we were able to really pivot and find a lot of those steps by an administration so that we can focus on strong, effective action to really get us where we need to be. So today my focus is on supporting both travel learning and education that I take to walking health person, and then I look at the animal menu, but I struggle
And we
really one of them. So New York and California at various times implemented laws that required that no less than 35% of the benefits of investment transition to the standard put in learning and then through the federal level and bumped up to 40% standard. Really exciting. And I do want to emphasize here, I have to say this as an advocate, 40% is really important. So when we are saying that 40% is the minimum goal, but there is no reason that agencies can't go further and provide more benefits for their communities. So what are agencies now looking at? Program has been out over a year. Where do we? And it has gone through an additional stage of proceeding public. But there's a beta version out right now, which you can check out on the website, or if you just Google kind of economic justice, play around with your math. I would encourage you to do so because the CEQ is built on how accurate math is, and the accuracy of this math report is critical because agencies will be using this to decide how much money. Additionally, it is expected that states will also use this math, that localities can use this math, and that nonprofits and the private sector can. We've already heard the private sector calling for this best version of the map that it costs to make investments on par with the federal government. So I would encourage you to look at that. My organization has done a lot of advocacy recently on trying to get race included in this tool. It's currently not included, which is, so that's ongoing. And a final version of the tool sometime this year so that it can really hit the ground running with the rest of this funding coming out of the department as well. Which brings me to the second major area where we are taking action in relation to justice. So the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which was passed over a year ago, what, as I'm sure you all know, was a once-in-a-generation infrastructure, and the great thing about it is that a lot of that can be tools for climate-related issues. So there's millions of dollars that state and local governments to directly reduce pollution and provide that new critical infrastructure to transition to the economy. And there are several agencies that are implicated under IIJA in relation to justice. And if you're interested, the Biden administration put out a guidance document, which outlines, which you can Google IIJA guidance, and it will come up and you'll see the green eye. Which brings me to the tracking device. Because just saying that there's money out there is the hardest part here is making sure that it gets. So the three agencies that will really be getting these clean energy investments and getting, now this is really important to understand because even though there are billions of dollars in the IIJA, 90% of the funds are actually going to be authorized from the federal government to give directly to states. This is important because states do not have to follow Justice 40 is a federal mandate. And so we run into a problem here if states choose not to adopt the Justice 40 plan. So we as advocates and as concerned communities are for sure that when our states grab those dollars, that they are being invested in the right way. And my organization, along with the Green New Deal Network, put together a document of all of the programs that we will need. States should be actively monitoring in relation to the support. And this presentation will be sent out afterwards, but you can go to the .org/justice-40 and see which of those programs there are and figure out which one you're invested in or you want to make sure that when your state is beyond the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, there as I mentioned, you know, the definition of Section 40 is that benefits from investment into marginalized communities. But there are a lot of benefits that can be considered outside of simply investing dollars. For example, this mapping tool that CAQ has created can be used to assess communities. And so that is how burdened. And this is critical because not only do we want to bring in clean energy, better infrastructure, we also want to stop the harm that is currently going on in communities and not prolong it. So the Justice 40 tool map and mapping tools can be used to assess the impact, which can really help empower communities to understand what are the current burdens and how can we make sure that there are no new siting of power plants, waste facilities, industrial plants in our community, and how can we use this as permitting decisions. There's no new fossil fuel or renewable natural gas going through communities that are already so overburdened by the pollution. And states and local governments can also use the same map to take those assessments, even outside of federal. And personally, what I think is important is how you now have people spend this is really exciting. And if you're all interested in finding out how you can encourage your state or locality, please reach out to me. I'll have to talk to you. But we really like to help you for support for local adoption. And then I'd like to also spend a little bit of time talking about how Justice 40 might relate to broader campaigns that currently. So at Evergreen Action, one of our big pillars. So not only does it relate to quality of power, but how the power gets used. And right now, the EPA has about a dozen public tools that are specifically designed to target emissions in communities and pursue them. And there's a whole series of tools, which is graphic theory for soot, for coal ash, ozone, and we would like to take on all of these rules because environmental justice communities are the most heavily impacted by air quality issues, and they of course. So, you know, we can't just say we have to clean up the soot or we have to clean up the ozone. Well, what produces ozone? Power plants and cars, how are we going to transform those systems into ones that are electrified? And we are at a there's also federal funding from the IHA. So I would take this very interesting, and I would encourage you to check out this rule tracker, which will kind of read on our campaign on ways to engage. Some of these rules are actively in process and just improved so that EPA can go a little farther on the goal. Some of these EPA has an updated since Obama was in office, and they need to be updated so people can care, and so that we can really focus on applying to the employee needs. Under this clean power also quite on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission can be a player in the development of clean power. And we are lucky enough right now to have Commissioner Glick, who is very well aware of the impact that energy regulation has on this. And this year, I believe, there was a proposal about to amend the way that FERC does permitting processes to include consideration of communities and landowners in fighting. And then the last area that we really focus on is getting DOE to invest in. So beyond just funding provided from the IIJA, DOE has a wealth of knowledge and resources that a lot of states are looking at. And beyond the money, there's a gap in understanding how to transition and how to do it.
Historically, this has been really important because
because California, as we all know, has really been a trendsetter for reducing pollution and combating climate change. And this is important because once California is a believer in climate change, which is really happening during the Democratic administration, once California is a believer, any other state that wants to sign on to California standards, only California can set standards. So if we all then want to have more ambitious sample regulations than the EPA, they can't unless they agree to use them with California in order to set standards. So right now, California is a waiver of three for two regulations that
but this does give me
which is great. It makes it harder for the EPA to invest in that with people who want it, but there's no indication that any other sector is looking for that with such a specific ruling based on a specific program that actually never existed.
Aspect and put something Q&A and a little bit more about what they're thinking.
In the meantime, I will mention one other piece of information. Okay. So what is the definition? I don't know that. I mean, my initial reaction to that question is I don't know that there is a playbook, only because the concept of justice reporting is really about serving communities that have been underserved and have been marginalized, and each the need is going to be different in each of those communities, just inherently based on what the local solutions are. So it's kind of hard for to envision, far as if you're looking for resources and tools. The Biden administration has put out quite a lot of guidance for agencies and also for localities, so that's a good place to start. And I have some resources as well. Oh, okay. It sounds like it was mentioned in another presentation. I'm not sure what that is, but again, I would advise that if folks have specific areas of interest and specific communities they want to work in, that they should
a link in the chat in the Q&A book, things like that should get you to playbook that was sufficient for you.
And we have seen a lot of these popping up, but it seems like several days, for example, there are relatively recent. I did want to mention one more kind of super talk piece regarding which is a little bit sad, but also the reality that because Justice 40 was authorized in executive order, there is we are doing everything we can, as federal advocates to ensure that agencies really enshrine the values of Justice 40 so that it would be harder to undo after this administration. But as we all know, there is a high chance that the powers will turn over. And so, again, that's all of the reasons why so much more emphasis really should be put on what states and localities can do, because once you modify just before you were prepared, you will secure that money for your city. And then the other point there, of course, is the issue with campaign and executive order, we only have these 2 years left. So now it is the time to act. Because Justice 40 is exciting, but without investment in dollars, so top line. So really digging into your community.
Rachel, do you know, is there a timeline for when the front term funds have to be spent? Do they have to be spent then to your timeline?
No, not at all. That's actually a really good deployment over the next 5-10 years. Awesome, because that also gives a new opportunity every year for the next 5 to 10 years to try to get some of this money.
Mentioning that we have one in the audience, Indiana, but not just in Indiana, from all over the country, other people watching this on YouTube. Since this is July, there'll be a lot of Washington after the fact that he's acting. So other than Indiana, are there other things people have particular interest in other states or whatever?
And I wonder too, Rachel, do you have any examples of Justice 40 related work in that city? Like what types of projects are being funded this money?
Yeah, the biggest thing that comes to mind right now that we're working on is the school bus fund, which again, at all 50 states and all those territories are available to get that funding. But something that might be a little bit more obscure is clean water funding. So I know that a lot of communities are pretty excited about the opportunity to update their water infrastructure, which sounds benign, but it's the real serious issue in many communities, and so Justice 40 funds are applicable there. And communities can really directly support in calling for this provided to their community. So that is a consideration. And another thing that comes to mind is there is a lot of, from the Department of Energy, a lot of opportunities to apply for clean energy pilot programs to be placed in your school. So I think I provided a link somewhere in the presentation to the list of state Justice 40 cover programs is what they're called. Many of them from the Department of Energy, you know, provide an opportunity to get a demonstration solar project or another, you know, a demonstration project in your community directly provide clean energy and hopefully offset some fossil fuel energy as well.
So another question, is there money for providing energy efficiency for buildings or other homes in underserved neighborhoods?
There is some of that funding. So HUD, which handles federal housing, they are required to engage in some of the programs around justice facilities. So, and there is separately, there is a letter and I'll promise that here is a list of fact sheets that describes various programs, justice related programs, the clean energy program, the water related program. All of these programs are available to everybody.
I know in Maryland, in my state, we do statutory description for environmental justice this year. And I think it's probably based upon where the federal government is going to come out. Mm-hmm. But if there is a conflict between how the state is going to and how the federal government is going to come out.
That's a great question. And I think that is to be figured out. I think the good thing is that Justice 40, the definition really does only apply to federal funds. So once they get their hands on the funds, they can dole out Justice 40 funding in a way that makes sense for their community. But I will say that's an active area to stay apprised of, because if your state definition is a bar in comparison to the funds that you have, you will, of course, want to be aware of that. Another interesting issue is that right now, many agencies have their food definitions, and they are not all the same as the food definitions. So we will also be seeing and how that plays out.
I want to notice that we don't have everyone able to comment in the chat, but that's how we do this webinar. If you do want to make a comment, feel free to put that in the Q&A, especially any more questions you've got. And here's a comment from the in the Q&A. This is fantastic. So many ways to bring this federal funding to where it is needed and help address climate change together.
Yeah, it's exciting, and there's so much to do. There's almost more to do than there are people to do it. So again, if you can find a way to support, you know, your local agency, I'm sure that they would be great.
And I dropped a link in the chat box to the...
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Mrs. Rachel Patterson. I apologize. At the beginning of the show, I was just rushing in, and we have been at Howard University at another business expo and funding conference today, so we are running a little different schedule for our show. Normally, the show airs at 11 a.m. from 11 to 12 every Wednesday, but our time went from 3 to 4 today. I want to take the time now and sort of reinforce some of the things that this young lady, Mrs. Rachel Peterson, let me make sure I'm get the pronunciation, Patterson, not Peterson, Patterson was indicating. Now, last year, Congress and the President Biden enacted a single largest federal investment in clean energy in American history, the Inflation Reduction Act, known as the IRA. This bill, cock full of investments in reducing climate pollution and spurring a growing and more equitable economy run on clean energy. One of the most important yet frequent overlooked programs is the Climate Pollution Reduction Grants. So, if you click on that link, it will go to EPA, and it will give you an overview. And you first thing you want to do is find out if you're eligible for these grants. And there's a process. The overview of the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program will provide grants to states, local governments, tribes, and territories to develop and implement plans in reducing green gas emissions and other harmful air pollution under Section 601-14 of the Inflation Reduction Act, provides investments of $55 billion to support efforts by states, municipalities, air pollution control agencies, tribes, and green groups, therefore, to develop and implement strong local green gas reduction strategies. This two-stage grant program provides funding of $250 million for non-competitive planning grants and $4.6 billion for competitive implementation grants. So you can get the grants. You can apply for the grant to give you the capacity of hiring a grant writer and putting your proposal together, then you got to compete. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this is a lot of information to absorb, but we hope we brought you news that you can definitely use. Now, we may be recording this session. We're going to check this process out after we go through the process of seeing where we are with our show today, because we have basically come to the end of our time allotment for this episode of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as host for the show, we always like to close our show in letting our audience know we don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here. As we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, go in peace. Till next week, as we say, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us back here. Until next week, once again, have a beautiful day and go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Sing.